May it please the court. My name is Jason Epstein, and I do represent Terry Johnson, the defendant in this matter. Judge, as this, as our briefs have been somewhat a myriad of issues, I would like to indicate to the court, I do stand on all the issues if I don't get to every issue that's in the briefs. Would the court like a brief recitation of the facts?
You can presume that the court is familiar with the facts.
Absolutely. Judge, this case arises pursuant to the First Amendment. And 2251 is the statute at issue, and I think there's no disagreement that there is no element of scienter within that statute. What occurs in the legislative history is that the Congress in 1978 specifically stated that they did not want knowing to be part of the statute, that the only thing that would be required to be proven was that the individual alleged to have been solicited been actually under the age of majority. Based on this alone, this statute would be then unconstitutional, not so much on legislative history of them taking out knowing, but because it is a criminal statute, then it would be unconstitutional. There is an exception, and that is a public welfare offense. Public welfare offenses are generally harms to the general public, transporting dangerous goods. The government attempts to argue that, in fact, this is a public welfare offense, when, in fact, non-public welfare offenses are those common law offenses generally against the person, against the state and public morals. Clearly, soliciting a person under the age of majority would be, I think, a common law offense, not a public welfare offense. So it wouldn't garner any exception status to the requirement of scienter in criminal cases. It gets interesting in this case because what ends up happening is the government attempts to insert a element of scienter. And, of course, we know under the separation of powers this cannot be done. The executive may not insert a scienter requirement in a statute if it's not already there. They attempt to insert believed to be. And really, to cut to the chase, 2251 was part of a larger scheme of statutes introduced to protect children and child pornography. In Ashcroft versus Free Speech Coalition in 2002, one of those statutes was taken down, and that was the one that said you may not have an individual who appears to be a minor in a film engaged in sexual activity. And one of the examples they give is American Beauty, which won an Academy Award. They refer to an individual, a female. She was a cheerleader who appeared to be a minor, and she engaged in sexual activity. They said under 2256, the Ashcroft Free Speech Coalition statute, that would be unconstitutional, that would be an infringement on free speech, and therefore it cannot be. 2251, strangely enough, addresses the persuasion or the enticement of an individual to engage in these types of films, and if, according to the government, if you believe them to be a minor, then you cannot ask them.
What about an attempt? You know, because that seems to be, they say you can't have an attempt unless you believe that.
Absolutely, Judge. And that actually brings even further encroachment onto the First Amendment. First off, I would say that's a non sequitur. But I'm actually going to address my second response first. And that is, to say that you're going to attempt to entice someone to engage into sexual activity who appears to be a minor, well, I think you're getting a step away from actually enticing them. So if we put this into literal terms, if you're on the Internet, and this really boils down to like the Internet situation because those are the facts of this case, and those are the facts wherein we're going to encroach on the First Amendment. If on the Internet you say to an individual, I have a film, there is some sexual activity in it, would you like to be in it? And the individual responds, well, I live with my parents, I'm still in high school, you know, I wear my hair in pigtails, I never wear makeup, and I'm still a virgin, but yeah, I'd love to. At that moment, that individual is guilty of a crime. The kicker is that individual who said that she lives with her parents, has pigtails with no makeup, she's 18 years old. But the crime is complete of enticing an individual who you believe to be a minor. The government could clearly come in and prove that that individual, based on those facts, believes that that individual was a minor. Now, that's not that is speech. Asking someone to engage in a commercial activity is speech, and it is protected. Now, if we take attempt and add that to the mere enticement or persuasion, well, now we're even a step further. Now, if you just say, you know, I have a movie, there is some sexual activity in it, would you like to be in it, is that an attempt to entice? You know, we're getting even further abroad. It's becoming from narrowly tailored. We now have attempt to entice. What is that? That The reason why it's a non sequitur, my first response would have been, if attempt, adding attempts to any statute allows the government to change the elements of that statute, well, we really have no law whatsoever. We merely add attempt to any statute that we choose, and then we can add an element to help us prove attempt. No, that's not how it works. 2251A is clear on its face. They're attempting to say, because there is attempt in 2251D, which is true, if we have an attempt crime, then we can add this other element believed to be. That doesn't make sense. Merely because it is a crime which is subject to attempt doesn't mean you can change the elements of the substantive offense by any means. And not only that, it's a violation of separation of powers twofold. The legislator here specifically took out knowingly. On the debate, they said, we do not want knowingly in this statute. Yet, the government attempts to insert believed to be under the guise of because it's an attempt. Well, that doesn't make sense. That applies to, it's not unique. You can apply that to any statute. And we add attempt, well, now we're going to add this element in. That doesn't fly, and it really doesn't. And again, it only embroils us more in the First Amendment. It doesn't take us out of it.
So under this circumstance where Dina or whatever her name is a fake, there's no way, you say, they can attempt to entice someone who does not exist. You can't be charged with that.
In non-encroachment of the First Amendment, absolutely. You will 100% of the time, if there is a law that says if you attempt to entice an individual who you believe to be a minor, you will absolutely encroach on the First Amendment. However, I will mention, and somewhat for the state side, in excitement video, there is an exception, and that is if you're a producer of film, and that individual is sitting across the table from you, well, you don't need mens rea because that person's right across the table from you, okay? But that's not the situation we're talking about here, and that's not the fear that we have in this statute. And
that's what I say. If this is a sight unseen, and we go through this whole process, I mean, this case, they've done it before. This guy does this. So you say it cannot be prosecuted, I guess, until he encounters the real thing.
Absolutely, 100%, and it will not hinder law enforcement at all. Though the statute isn't constitutional, it can be foreseen that law enforcement will not be hindered at all, and free speech will be allowed. Nobody has to step back here.
This guy who trolls on the internet and has a lot of misses, but then he gets so-called hits, until he actually fulfills this after trying lots of times, and then he finally finds somebody, and then goes and then executes, so to speak, then and only then can he be charged.
Yes, Judge. Well,
it's like a scenario.
He can be charged, even in this case, he could be charged, but the crime will never be complete on the internet. Enticement will never be complete on the internet.
What would he be charged with?
Well,
he's got to encounter this, a real 14-year-old.
He could still be charged with enticement, 100%. And the way it would work is that...
What if she doesn't exist?
If she never comes to fruition?
Right.
Oh, then it's exactly what I'm speaking of in another part of my brief.
Can't be charged.
No. If she doesn't exist and she never comes to fruition, in other words, it's not an agent and it's not a human being that ever does anything.
So you can't stop these guys until they succeed.
No, absolutely not, Judge. Absolutely not. If I may give a brief example, I see my argument time has expired. If I may give a brief example to this effect, in this case and in all cases where this arises, they get a hit. They have this guy making these indecent solicitations on the internet. This individual says, I'm going to come see you. He comes to see this individual. At that moment, undercover officers log in thousands of hours undercover. An undercover officer approached this individual in this case. It would have taken us 15 minutes for that individual to have made an indecent solicitation face-to-face with the undercover officer. Crime is complete. Indecent solicitation is fine. The First Amendment is fine. But you cannot have a complete crime if it occurs over the internet.
Well, you say the undercover officer. Does the undercover officer have to be underage?
No. Absolutely not, no.
So he can just pretend to be, or she can
Absolutely. It's just like in any other solicitation case, in drug cases, you can pretend to be a drug dealer, you can pretend to be a minor here, and there, that would be a fine crime. The only reason it's illegal here, or unconstitutional here, is because on the internet, you begin to make everybody afraid. If you're chatting with an individual and they're pretending on a non-commercial area, let's say you're just in a chat room, you're pretending to be 16, and you're not. And somehow, for whatever reason, for whatever, you know, social digress we get, you know, you enjoy that. That is protected speech. You know, but I see that I only have 1 minute left, if I may save that for a rebuttal.
I think it's half time. Mr. Hotelling?
May it please the court, counsel. There is one crucial element that undergirds and provides the structural foundation for all of the government's position in this case. And I believe, Judge Manning, you mentioned to it at the beginning of your questioning, and that is attempt. In this case, in count 3 of the superseding indictment, Mr. Johnson, the defendant, was charged with attempt to manufacture child pornography in violation of Title 18 United States Code, Section 2251D. Now, I guess at the outset, I'd also like to mention that the defendant has raised no issues with respect to his guilty plea and conviction under counts 1 and 2 of the indictment. Now, with respect to count 3 charges, and if I might paraphrase, count 3 charges that the defendant attempted to persuade, entice, induce a person that he believed to be a minor to engage in sexual conduct for the purpose of creating a depiction of that conduct. The defendant has argued and is raised it in his opening statement here that the government has inserted an element that was not part of the substantive offense. The element that the defendant believed the individual he was communicating with to be a minor. Well, as I have mentioned again, this is a charge of attempt, and under the law of attempt in this circuit, in order for the government to allege attempt, two things must be proven. Number one, that the defendant had the specific intent to commit the underlying substantive offense, and two, that he took substantial steps toward the commission of that underlying offense. This case presents a question as to what is the mental state needed to establish attempt to commit or the attempt to produce or manufacture child pornography. And defense counsel makes a legitimate point that the substantive offense, Section 2251A, as Congress has enacted it and drafted, does not contain a scienter element with respect to the age of the minor. But again, and if I'm sounding like a broken record, I apologize, but the government is charging attempt and not a substantive violation. So the only way that the government can legitimately and properly charge attempt in this case is for the government to allege that the defendant acted and communicated and attempted to persuade an individual that he believed to be a minor.
Well, does that mean then that he possibly can't charge for an attempt under this statute?
I beg your pardon?
Is in order to have to make that fill in the gap, could you argue that you simply can't charge an attempt under this statute?
Well, the only way that you can charge an attempt.
I know. I'm just saying, if that's the only way, is it arguable that therefore you can't charge it without rewriting the statute or adding to the statute?
Well, we're not. The government is not rewriting the statute, Your Honor. The government is simply corresponding to the law of attempt in this circuit, and that under the law of attempt in this circuit, the government must establish that the defendant had the specific intent to commit the underlying substantive offense. So drafting the language in this way corresponds to the court's and to this circuit's law regarding attempt. And that was the way that, in order to satisfy those burdens that this court has imposed on the government in terms of drafting indictment and drafting charging language, that's the way it needs to be done in order to satisfy that. If that were not the case, and if the government were not required to insert that language, it's certainly possible, though I certainly, in a hypothetical situation, I can't imagine under any circumstances where this might happen, but someone could be charged with attempt to commit or to commit to manufacture child pornography who does not have the specific intent to do so. But I don't imagine anywhere in any situation where that might happen. Now,
well, I guess as long as you're saying this, you know, an attempt is a valid charge, and you cannot have an attempt without someone believing that this person is underage. Otherwise, why would they bother, I guess? it's almost like saying our case law, I guess, of this circuit says that an attempt presupposes a belief.
I believe that's correct, Your Honor. I think that this law of the circuit does state that to prove attempt, the government must establish that he had the specific intent to commit the underlying crime. Section 2251D specifically indicates that the government can bring an attempt charge as well as a conspiracy charge to violate the substantive provisions of Section 2251A. It doesn't have any sort of language that deals with that mental element, but combining the specific statute which provides for attempt coupled with the language and the law in this circuit regarding attempt creates in the aggregate the drafting of the indictment in this case in the way that it was. If I might make a few comments with respect to defense counsel made a couple references regarding to Section 2251D. Those particular arguments that he's raising here today were not raised in his brief, and I just wanted to make that point clear for the record. And now, with respect to some of the arguments with respect to the First Amendment and his challenge and his overbreadth challenge to Section 2251A, first of all, I'm not sure that the court even really needs to get to the challenges and the overbreadth challenges that he's making to Section 2251A, because as I've already pointed out, we're charging attempt under 2251D and not a substantive violation of 2251A. Nevertheless, with respect to the argument that Section 2251A is unconstitutional because it does not contain a scienter requirement or a mens rea element, this is well-settled law. It's been addressed in both the excitement case in the Supreme Court as well as in the Ashcroft case. The Supreme Court has implicitly recognized that those statutes are constitutional despite the fact that they do not have a scienter element with respect to the age of the minor. The sister circuits of this court have also acknowledged that is a constitutional reality, and those cases are cited in our brief. There's also the issue about the producer, non-producer element that defense counsel raised, and I would simply state that the defendant in this case is a producer, or even attempted producer. Even though the communication was taking place over the internet, and it's clear from the transcript and to what Mr. Johnson admitted to, he had an opportunity and in fact asked this Dina, the 14-year-old girl posing as, or the officer posing as the girl Dina, what is your name? To which case Mr. Johnson responded, or to which case the minor, or the purported minor, said, I'm 14 years old. So we have a situation where Mr. Johnson was the purported producer of this child pornography over the internet. He had an opportunity to ask his actor, as we're using the term, what her age was, and over the internet, the actor acknowledged that, yes, I'm 14 years old. He had numerous times to ascertain the age of his victim, and as the Supreme Court has indicated in the excitement video case, the producer of child pornography and the producer of pornography bears the risk of error in terms of assuming the age of the individuals that he intends to put into his pornography, child pornography, whatever it might be. So in this situation, this is not the removed case that defense counsel might suggest that it isn't, but in fact, Mr. Johnson is a producer. He intended to create child pornography with an individual that he believed to be a minor. If there are any other further questions, that concludes my comments.
All right. Thank you.
And just as a conclusion, I would ask the United States would request that this court affirm the sentence and conviction of Mr. Johnson.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Hogan. Yes, thanks.
As quickly as I can, Judge. Excitement video. Counsel says that mens rea is settled. That's absolutely not true. Excitement video in 1994, the issue was there was no mens rea. The court found it unconstitutional for no mens rea. They construed then the statute on their own to include knowing. Justice Scalia took them to task and said, you have no business construing this statute. That's for the legislature. But everyone agreed that it was unconstitutional because there was no mens rea. Respectfully, counsel is not correct on that issue. Ashcroft did not deal with mens rea. It only dealt with the parents of people that look like minors. Counsel says that you can ascertain. All you have to do is ask. Don't listen to me. Listen to the United States Supreme Court in Reno. They said that it is completely unascertainable, that there is no verification process on the Internet. People often assume pseudonyms and divulge facts which are not truthful. The Internet, while the greatest First Amendment vehicle we have yet to see, it is also an area rife with inability to ascertain. You can't ascertain when they're face-to-face. You cannot entice legally, constitutionally, over the Internet. And we would ask that this statute be found unconstitutional, and that we thank you for your time.
All right. Our thanks to all counsel. The case is taken.